You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
As much as the Yankees are right on the doorstep of the postseason, there is a larger issue that is at hand for the long term. It's Carlin at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. On Twitter, it's at Chris Carlin. Of course, Instagram, that guy Carlin. And TikTok as well, that guy Carlin. Tonight we get into plenty of the Jets and why I don't believe, as we've talked about a bit last night, things are nearly as bad as you would believe. We get Rich Cimini's take in just a little while. We will also get into the largest issue facing the Giants this season. And when we're talking about wins and losses, that's not it as much anymore, because we have reached the point already in the year where that's not necessarily going to matter. There is a much bigger question to be answered. And we also discussed the presence of Bronxy the Turtle, an emotional support animal for the New York Yankees, who is not in attendance in Toronto tonight, but as the manager alluded to earlier today, is there in spirit. 800-919-3776. So, if you saw the New York Post today, you saw that there was a reference to the fact that the Yankees and Aaron Judge have not had a discussion about a long-term contract. It was first broached back in the spring, and Judge rhetorically asked back when he was queried about any kind of discussions that had or had not happened, said, good question. In other words, he had been hoping that maybe something would have been talked about, but it hadn't. And he gave a one-word answer when he was asked about it this week, and the answer was no. There have not been any discussions at all about a long-term contract extension. This has been a remarkable year for Aaron Judge, and I continue to give him all the credit in the world for finding his way onto the field. Same thing with Giancarlo Stanton. The fact that the two have been healthy, you know who we have to give credit to is that Eric Cressy, who the Yankees brought in hoping as a strength and conditioning and performance coach, he would have a large impact on the ability to stay on the field. And I don't think you can argue with what's gone on this season. Both have been there as much as you ever could have hoped. And for Judge, hey, nobody has knocked him more for his inability to stay on the field. And this year, that has not been the case. And something that has never been debated is his abilities when he is on the field, are his abilities when he's been on the field. He is a dynamic player, and he has also helped them out immensely by being able to play some center field this season. This does not change what the larger long-term question is. If you are of the belief that right now is the time to sign Judge to a long-term contract, You're just not right, and you have to be careful. And why do I say that? As much as I want to believe in everything that he has been and continues to be for the Yankees, this has very little to do with his ability. It has a lot more to do with what the future holds for the Yankees and what their future commitments are. Now, there are a couple of things at work. Number one, You can't get a contract done before you know what the collective bargaining agreement looks like. So that's number one to be concerned by. Number two, it is the fact that with Judge, this cannot be a scenario where you are paying for what the production is right now. And so many times we've seen contracts that have been based in that, and they are not based in what is to come in the future. And it is, I'm sure, incredibly frustrating for players when you factor in that Aaron Judge has not made the amount of money that he would argue that he has been due so far because of just how things are structured. And he'd be 100% accurate, 100% right. I would say that he will be one of those interesting test cases going into this offseason, because you can't sign him now. You can't sign him after the collective bargaining agreement's done. And you're going to have to let this season play out. Why? Not to see whether or not he can stay healthy again, although that plays a little bit of a role. No, it's much more about what the future holds. And what the future holds right now is six more years of Giancarlo Stanton with $189 million remaining on his contract. There is no way to get rid of that deal for at least another 3 years, if not more, and you're buying out a ton of that money. You can't afford to do that. And within 2 to 3 years, when you factor in that Judge's contract will kick in after next year, he will not be an outfielder anymore. He's going to be a designated hitter at some point in his early 30s. 32, 33 years old, 33 years old, is that fair to say? And you're still stuck with four more years of that deal. Can you afford to pay one player an absolute fortune? He might want a 10-year contract. You're not giving him that because of how old he is. He's 29 right now. He's 31 by the time free agency would actually kick in. 30 after next season, but, you know, 31 before the next, before the 2023 season started. You can't afford to pay that player that amount of money when you already have a player who's going to be limited to being a designated hitter. I mean, just think about how that is. It's not possible to do that. That's tying up entirely too much money in a position that you can't afford to do that in. So how do you handle this moving forward? As much as he's great, after next season, still 5 years, $160 million left on the contract of Giancarlo Stanton. And Judge is going to want 7 years at least. If you find a way to get rid of Stanton, I really don't have any issue with this long term. But in my mind, if you can't, and the results this season, even if they get into the postseason, are similar or the same, I think you really have to consider not signing him long term. And I know people have been all over me about this, but after the year, all right, well, where are we here? What does a contract extension look like? What are they wanting? What are they going to be willing to settle for? And can we be logjammed at one position for that amount of time? He probably, I'm being fair here, okay? Well, we got two more years in the outfield after next season. So three more seasons in the outfield. You're still stuck with a lot of time there. 3 years in which you would have the same player. You can't afford to do that. It's problematic for how this team is going to be set up for the long term. So, yeah, as much as you don't want to hear it, your best option, especially if you feel like Stanton's going to continue to produce closer to this level than the other level he has before, is to truly explore the trade market this offseason for Judge. It really is. And I know that's heresy, and I understand you're going to be upset about that, but the return could be massive on him and should be. And there are a lot of areas that need to be addressed here. We can't argue that, and we can't lose sight of what has happened the last 2 years. They are going great right now. Don't get sucked into what's going on right now. Think about what's happening in the future. That's what their job is, and that's how they have to look at this. And if this is about fan pressure and signing the guy for the long term when you have somebody else that you're stuck with for that amount of time, I mean, let's be real about it. You're not going to be able to get rid of Judge until there's a minimum of 2 years left on his deal. And that's still $65 million. It's still that much. So why not actually explore making that move sooner rather than later to maximize the return and to set yourself up for the future? Why not call the San Francisco Giants and try to do something there? You think that wouldn't be in an ideal situation? The guy's from Central California, went to Fresno State. You think you wouldn't be perfect for them? I think you'd be a little bit crazy not to explore it if you can take emotion out of the moment. And that's what you have to do here, guys. Take emotion out of the moment and understand that the Stanton deal is really limiting you from what you can do long-term with Judge. There's no getting around that. Lines are open. Hit them up. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Would you extend Judge right now? Would you try to get him locked up? Or do you understand what I'm saying this offseason? What's a contract going to look like? And if it's something that's going to be really prohibitive, which you would expect it to be, how do we handle that for the long term? And maybe we're better off moving on sooner rather than later so we actually get something besides just a draft pick. This is what you have to consider. You really do, because if you don't, you are just putting yourself in a bad situation a year from now, not only just from a standpoint of how your team is going to be constructed, but also from a public relations standpoint. It's your boy at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. A lot of Yankee calls up. I'm going to get my man Ira in first because he was on the line last night and did not get on. Ira in Staten Island, how you doing, kid?
All good, Chris. Appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good, Ira.
You got Rich coming up. I know you got Rich coming up, and I heard you last night. You know, I get what you're saying. I mean, when you really look at the team right now, throw the record out the window. You know, the defense is playing with some heart. There are some pieces in place. We knew this was season was all about developing the young players. But the thing that, you know, is upsetting is just the way the quarterback has performed. It's to be expected to a certain degree. I just don't think that, you know, they're doing the right thing by this kid. I think.
Well, in what respect? Should he not be playing? Or should they have had a veteran?
No.
Or all of the above?
No. I thought they should have had a veteran in camp all summer. I don't want to take reps away from him. But I just, if somebody he could, you know, kind of bounce ideas off of. But I think the play calling and the situations they're putting into, it looks like there's no identity. Is this team a running team? Is this team a passing team? Are they going to spread it out? It's just like, look, floors all over the place, and I just don't think they're doing the kid any favors.
Look, the problem here, Ira, is you've got three rookies running this show. You've got a rookie quarterback, exactly, a rookie OC, and a rookie head coach, and they're all learning and growing together. And the true thing that I would worry about is getting the kid hurt. That's where the real problem lies. I look at what happened the other day, and it's not what I would call growth, but at least he's not chucking it all over the yard into bad situations. He took a couple of chances, but not nearly as many as he did in week two, and he ended up just taking sacks in situations where he should have given up on plays. So
I agree. Now,
I think by mid-season, it's going to look a lot different than it does right now. I don't think, look, I'm under no illusions about what this is. This is a 5-6 win, maybe, and I had hoped for 7. I think that's a stretch right now. But if it's 5 or 6, I think we'd all understand that and sign for it right now. It doesn't feel good at 0-3.
No, it certainly doesn't. But, you know, and he did get into a little bit of a rhythm on the second drive. That was a drive that they let the clock run down and they had to take the field goal off the board.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue, like you said, is keeping this kid healthy. And look at the last minute of the game. I mean, the game, you know, there was no reason to have this kid throwing passes and taking another hit and throwing another interception to his psyche. And then that's what concerns me about this. You know, it's just I want this kid to play 17 games and learn this year. That's what I want at the end of the year.
appreciate the call, Ira. And it's, you know, you cannot afford for him to get hurt. And I think they will do everything to avoid that, obviously. I do worry about how this is going to look. I really do. If he is holding on to the football too long and getting himself hammered, then you've got a problem. Then you've really got a problem. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. All right, let's light him up. Matthew in Vegas. What's up, Matthew? How you doing, bud?
Mr. Christopher Carlin.
What's going on, dude?
I got the main point. What's up, buddy? The main point I wanted to make, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. I'll make it quick. But I think you're totally dead on about Judge, and Yankee fans like my dad don't want to hear that. If the guy succeeds in New York, they're like, oh, he's going to be a Yankee for life. But it's kind of like with a woman that everything's great, you're in love, but you just know if you have a kid with this person, it's probably not going to go well. So maybe if he takes a shorter deal with a lot of money, maybe. And, hey, if he goes away and then loves New York so much, he's Mr. Yankee, maybe he'll give us a discount and come back. But my main point was, with the Yankees, the difference between them and every other team in the playoffs right now they're going to face is that if you look at every single baseball game as like a sparring match or a boxing match, the Yankees have been flatlined. They've been knocked out 8, maybe 9 times this year. And I was listening to the Red Sox broadcast when Stanton hit that grand slam, and Eckersley said something to the effect of, oh, boy, that hurts. That's a gut punch. Can you even remember one of those this year? So maybe that's the one advantage the Yankees have going into the playoffs this year, is that they know what it feels like to be completely flatlined. I'm thinking of the Astros game, the Angels game, the Chad Green against the Red Sox game. They've been absolutely dropped, and their morale could have been shattered, and they kept getting up off the mat. So maybe, if I'm looking for a silver lining as a Yankees fan, the one kind of advantage we have over some of these other teams like the Astros and the Rays is that we know what it's like to have our heart ripped out of our chest and then get right back on the horse.
Look, I get that, and thanks for the call. I get where you're coming from there. I don't buy it, not for a second. No, absolutely not. Your inconsistency cannot be looked at as a strength because you've been through it. Not in this case. It's one thing to have gone through adversity and such and continue to be a team that can bounce back through it. It's another when you are trying to take so much from all the positivity you have right now, and when the Yankees take a gut punch, it goes the other way quick for a while. They don't recover from it overnight. And it takes a few days, and by that time, the season could be over. All you have to do is look at the last 2 years. It's so freaking up and down. It's so up and down. It's like my weight in my 30s. It's feeling good at times, and other times it's not so good. Right now, they're going great. You don't know when that ends, and you all have that healthy fear, and I understand that, as you should. Brett in Atlanta is next on 98.7 ESPN. Brett, what's going on, dude? Brett in Atlanta, are you with us? What's going on?
I am. Hey, Chris.
How are you, buddy?
Doing well. I want to say that if you look at Stanton's numbers this year, if he was a free agent coming on the market this year, he would be getting paid more than his contract currently is worth. J.D. Martinez makes $22 million a year and is just a DH, and Stanton's numbers are better, and he's been playing some left field for us and been doing clutch for us throughout the year and one game single-handedly throughout the year.
Okay, but he's not. So what's the point?
No, you say one of his negatives is that he's overpaid and that his contract is an albatross. And I'm saying that if he was a free agent this year, the Yankees or some other team, the Dodgers,
but
some other team
not.
Would pay him commensurate to what he's being paid now and give him a 4 or 5 year deal. J.D. Martinez
okay,
is
the point is they have six. They have 6 more years on this deal at $189 million after this year. That contract is an albatross. When you can only play one position, and you're talking about playing the outfield, how long do you think Stanton's playing the outfield? It took enough to get him to do it this year. Do you think that's magically going to continue to happen here for the next several seasons?
But the Red Sox have Martinez under contract through age 36 at an average value of $22 million a year.
Oh, okay, that's great. Good for them. It has nothing to do with the Yankees, who have him under contract at an average value of north of 30 a year. So it has nothing to do with the Red Sox. He's not a free agent this offseason, and you could talk about that all you want. My point is simply, you have Stanton there. Okay, let's act like this offseason you signed him to a six-year, $189 million contract. Are you then going to turn around and give Judge $280 for seven? You're not. Because you can't have all that money locked up in one position.
But is Thanks it really the... one position when they can both play the outfield and the...
You're missing what I'm saying. How long can they do that for? Thanks for the call. You can't go based on how he's producing and what's happened this year. You can't do that. You have to look at the future. Stanton is turning 32 in a little over a month. He's already problematic in playing the outfield. He's only a year and a half, 2 years older than Judge. So you have to understand that when you're going to figure out what to do with Judge, you have to take Stanton into account. You can compare it to being a free agent this offseason, but if he was, then you wouldn't sign both he and Judge, would you? No, you would not. You would not. Because, let me think, that would be stupid. Carlin, 97 ESPN at 800-919-3776. Biggest concern regarding the Jets. I asked this on Twitter earlier, so I want to get to some of these, in fact, on the Twitter, some of your responses. Your biggest concern for the Jets is blank. John Haslett checking in. Lack of roster improvement since Joe Douglas took over. His 2020 draft and free agency have been sketchy at best. The offense is specifically putrid. You know, something that's pretty funny is, as I was looking again at the 2020 draft class, Pro Football Focus went back and regraded the draft classes from 2020 in the middle of the summer in 2021. This was back in July. They gave the Jets an A. We've got Becton on the sidelines right now. He can't play. LaMichael Perine can't get on the field. Braden Mann's hurt. James Morgan's gone. Cameron Clark is not exactly a factor. Denzel Mims can't get on the field. This is not looking so great. Bryce Hall? All right. We'll see. This is all problematic. And Pro Football Focus regraded him, and they went from a B-plus to an A after year one. Number two, let's see here. Here's Rick checking in, and he says, what's the biggest concern for the Jets opening kickoff? Fair. Justin Merwick. Too much gas, not enough breaks. For the quarterback, that certainly has been true. Jarv, my buddy down under, checking in. Fixing the other faults in the line have to prop up players. This one has to do with Stanton. My bad there. Let's see. Who else? Adam Freifeld checking in. Biggest concern with the Jets is the Jets. Fairfield Frank, lack of experience. Derek Deshaun A, that's at Anthony235 on Twitter. Biggest concern is management. They didn't hire Matt Rhule, passed up on Lewis Riddick, and listened to Adam Gase for 2 years. The Jets are doomed. Look, it's easy to sit there and say they're doomed. I get that. I'm still on the Joe Douglas train, and it's going to take an awful lot to knock me off. I still believe in what he's doing with the Jets. And it's too soon to bail out on that. Look, it's so easy for us to all sit here and just complain and complain and complain about where they are and what this process is like. The process sucks, all right? There's no getting around it. The entire process of trying to get better sucks because you're going to go through losing and you're going to go through a lot of losing and you're going to have to wear it when it comes to a rookie quarterback. That's what's going on right now. And it's not easy to see the forest for the trees or through the trees or whatever the hell the saying is. The bigger picture. It's not easy to see that. But it's a day-by-day thing. And this is... God, I hate that I'm going to use this word. But I have to use this word because there's no other way to describe it. This is a process. This is going to take time. This is getting, hopefully, another good draft class next year and putting yourself in a much better situation to be successful and spending more money in the offseason. I don't look at this as nearly as bad as you feel like it is right now. And it feels this bad because you just had it last year, because the other day the offense couldn't do a damn thing against the Broncos. Rich doesn't think they're a top five defense. I get that. I think they're pretty good. But the reason things aren't nearly as bad as you would believe, not everything that I've detailed already. Did you know that the Jets right now have the sixth easiest remaining schedule in the NFL this year? The sixth easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. I mean, that's not bad. You can deal with that. And that's why I say there are these five wins that are on this schedule. There are these six wins that are on this schedule. And when you go and look later in the year, you will be better for what has happened. He will be better for what has happened. Because Zach Wilson's going to learn. And he's going to have to alter how he plays. And they're going to have to learn how to set him up to be more successful. Like Rich was talking about, designed rollouts, all those kind of things. The things that he does on the run that are really big strengths in his game. But guys, it sucks to be in the middle of it. But you're in the middle of it. And the only way out of it is through. That's why it's so much worse to be a Giant fan right now. So much worse to be a Giant fan right now. Because you have tried to duct tape this thing together over the last several years, and it hasn't worked. And you find yourself here, and I truly cannot look at what's going on and find the win on the schedule anytime soon. The Jets, at least you knew going in that it was not going to be easy. 0-3 makes it feel all the worse. Big picture, where's it headed? Are there actually better players here? Yes, in a lot of cases, there are better players here. Guys have disappointed, but there are better players here. Tony in Connecticut is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Tony, what's up? Tony! Ah, we lost Tone. Buddha is back. Buddha in the Bronx. What's up, Dad, baby?
Dad, Daddy, what's going on, kid?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Listen, with your question, it's a two-pronged answer for me. First part of the answer is, I'm just concerned, not that we need to have a rebuild, but the philosophy behind it, the six-year contract. Winning is always about next year. And then, you know, with that strategy, I'm looking at guys like C.J. Mosley. I heard Quinnen Williams on with Alan Hahn and them earlier. You know, you're going to have to keep some of the players who are good, you know. Yeah. And when you lose this much, you know, coming out of the gate, I mean, this guy played at Alabama. How many games did he lose? What, like four games in 4 years? You know, we're gonna be hard to sell to get somebody to come in here with this losing like this. You know, and I really, you know, when you talk about the Giants, I understand where you're getting from a certain sense that they're going to have to rebuild and we're ahead of schedule in terms of that we're already rebuilding. But there's two things that the Giants have as an advantage over the Jets. First thing is the Giants are a national team. They're however bad they've been for 10 years, they have credibility. And the second thing
not anymore, they don't. Well, not right now. You look around the league, look at the Giants' record. They have the worst record in football over the last 8-9 years. They don't have credibility now.
But when I say that, I'm not talking about in terms of, you know, where they've been for 10 years. But the name, New York Giants, it stands taller than the name New York Jets.
Okay, I get that, but that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme.
It does, though. Listen, you know, the big bull marrow, right? The other...
Mm-hmm. Oh, we lost Buddha's phone. Look, there he is. All right, go ahead. We lost you for a sec. He's gone now. Here's the deal. I don't for a minute doubt what you're saying as far as what your perception of the situation is, but your perception of the situation is not reality. The league looks at the Giants and understands that for the last 10 years, they've had the worst record in football and have played in one playoff game. I mean, that's atrocious. That's as bad as could be. So they have been in this for as long as they have. Look, you knew that this was a teardown and it's going to be painful. It is never easy to go through this. But I'm telling you, what I saw the other day, as bad as it felt, when I watched it through clearer eyes the next day after having watched the Giants. I'm not telling you that you needed to do that. Most Jet fans couldn't give a damn about the Giants. I'm talking about from my perspective, when I watched it, and I watched it again, it was much different than watching it the first time. Okay, they didn't get the offense going at all, and that can't be the case. But we know why it is. It's the quarterback, and it's a rookie play caller who now has to look at this and say, okay, what do I need to do for this guy to be more successful, for our offense to be more successful? He's going to spend a lot of time on that. I can guarantee you that. I feel for Dave if that's happening right now, where his son wants out. And I get it, because at 11, you don't understand the character building that's going on right now. Carlin at 800-919-3776. If your son at 11 years old, who has never seen anything positive from the Giants, now wants to be another fan. I think he wants to be a Charger fan, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he wants to be a Charger fan. Now, I don't have children. I'm only going to go at this from my upbringing. Now, when I was a kid, there was not an outward spoken word about hating the Yankees in our household. But they were just not ever acknowledged. Now, keep in mind, I am the youngest of six, and there is 8 years between me and my closest siblings. So, in other words, I was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't exactly in the plans, so to speak. But my brothers and my sister, as they were all growing up, they grew up more in Massachusetts and up there before they moved to New Jersey the year before I was born. Now, my father, who's an older father, had me when my mom had me when she was 40 and he was 44. My father was a huge Brooklyn Dodgers fan. Huge. So the Yankees were not ever going to be accepted in our household. With my brothers growing up in Massachusetts and two or three of them being Red Sox fans, and then this. But we didn't speak of it. We would go to Shea from New Jersey, and when we crossed over the GW Bridge and got onto the Deegan South to go to Shea, there was Yankee Stadium. And we would just pass it, and it would never be acknowledged. Like, the Yankees just weren't acknowledged. Like, I even remember, like, turning on the 81 World Series, and my father was still pissed at the Dodgers for leaving Brooklyn. And, you know, this is one of my first baseball memories ever. I was like seven. And we turned on the 81 World Series, Dodgers-Yankees. And I remember thinking, oh, look, New York. You know, I hadn't really become a Met fan yet. My first game was earlier that year. But he's like, no. We're not rooting for either of these teams. We're not rooting for either of these teams. So there was an unspoken lack of free will there for me. I became a Met fan. I was fine with it. And they were bad. And I kind of took pride in the fact that they were bad until they obviously won. And then I bailed out on Mookie Wilson, blah, blah, blah. when Mookie got traded. But the point here is, if you're a parent and you're trying to force the rooting interest on your child, it is a very slippery slope when they have reached a certain age where they understand that free will exists to a degree. There are limits, but free will does exist. So if I'm a parent and my kid is 11 and he wants to start rooting for the Chargers, okay, but here's the deal. We're not changing teams. If the Chargers are your team, they're your team. See, to me, I would use this as a teaching moment when it comes to commitment, right? This is to me like, all right, you're making a commitment to that team. You can make the change just once. I forced the Giants on you. You can make the commitment, but you're a Charger fan for the rest of your life. That's just all there is to it. You're not going to bail out on them and just start rooting for whoever's good, because we all know, we all have friends who are those guys, the ones who just start rooting for whoever's good. And they're sickening. And they're people of awful character. They are. They are people of awful character. So, okay, Dave, here's my thing. Again, not a parent. I'm in the cheap seats here. My opinion simply, you want to change teams? Okay, think long and hard about it, because you're going to be a fan of that team for the rest of your life. That's how this is going to work. Otherwise, I'm not going to acknowledge you as a sports fan if you bail out. That's just how it is. I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm not going to respect you as a sports fan. That's how it is. So you can change teams, and I'll be okay with it. But don't tell me in 3 years that you're not a Charger fan anymore, that you're a Buccaneer fan, or you're a Patriot fan, or you're a Steeler fan, or anything like that. No. Not how it works. 800-919-3776. Kaheem and Patterson is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Kaheem, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
Good. Do I have that right? Is it Kaheem?
Yeah, it's Kaheem. No, you got it right. Okay. All right, thank you for taking the call, first of all. First time caller.
Good to have you with us, brother.
Thank you. So I wanted to talk about that as well, because I heard Greeny talking about it this morning. I guess it started with DiPietro and Roethlisberger, but I want to talk about it because, yeah, me growing up, diehard Yankee fan, father the same, diehard Cowboy fan, father the same, and I just recently became a Philadelphia 76ers fan a couple years ago. We're not going to get into all that. But, yeah, like I was thinking about that earlier, like say if my child, I have a son, if he was to come up and say, even if it was starting at 5, 6 years old, he was a Giants fan, I wasn't allowing it. I can't allow it. You could be anything else. You could be anything else. A Giants fan and a Patriots fan, I will not allow it. I will disown you. Baseball. You got to, like, there's no other way you're not going to be a Yankee fan. There's no other way you won't be a Yankee fan. So you got to just live with that or just don't like baseball. You're not liking nobody else. You damn sure not liking the Mets. Even though after I just saw the 30 for 30 for the ESPN Mets, I did like it, which made me kind of be like, damn, it might have been cool to be a Mets fan in the 80s or something like that. But that was before my time. And basketball, I wouldn't mind him liking basketball. Whoever he likes, that's cool. I'm a Sixers fan. Only team I would not like him to be is a Knicks fan. I'm sorry, New York, but he can't be a Knicks fan. That's just like a letdown for the rest of your life.
So my problem here with the Dallas fan is simply this. I get it. You're following your father, okay? And I respect that a little bit more. If you had just jumped on in the 90s like the majority of these people did, I have zero respect for it. Zero.
But no, to be honest, like I'm 28 years old. I jumped on around like early 2000, something like that. And to be honest, I was the huge, biggest Terrell Owens fan. And I was around the time when I started really liking football, that's when he was on the Eagles. And I actually was an Eagles fan first. But this is before I knew, like about football and this is like that. I was just liking it. Like, I was just a big fan of T.O. And once he really came to the Cowboys, that solidified me as a diehard Cowboy fan.
Yeah, it's still a character flaw.
Yeah, it kind of could. But it's been about 15 to 20 years I've been losing each year, and I've been all right. Not necessarily all right with it, but I accept it. But we look good this year.
Yeah, you do look good, and thanks for the call. I personally would not allow that. That's one thing I wouldn't do. I can't allow my kid to be a Cowboy fan. Like, I'm a Steeler fan, right? And I became one because my older brother Jim was one. He was a bandwagon jumper, but I was just following him. And because my oldest brother Dan went to school in Pittsburgh in the late 70s, and it was one of the first games I ever went to. I think it was the first game I ever went to. But I never bailed out on them, and I bailed out on the Mets because of Mookie. You could call that Fugazi. You'd be right. But I have stuck with the Rangers since I bailed on the Mets. So I do allow one change once. But there are certain organizations that you will not root for. That's accurate, and that's fair. You will not be a Dallas Cowboy fan. That's not how this is going to work. Then you're immediately dead to me. And that's all there is to it. And I think that the majority of us would agree that being a Cowboy fan is absolutely a character flaw. I railed last week about Ben Simmons and the utter joke that he has become in Philadelphia. And I understand on several fronts why this is unlikely to happen. But if I were the Nets, if this Kyrie vaccine thing's going to be a real concern and this is going to be a real problem, I'm sorry, I can't have the situation that he wants to put me in. And if you're upset that they're forcing you to do it, take it up with people that are in politics. Kyrie has certainly shown plenty of interest in that, and get the laws changed, because if you want to be an NBA player in Brooklyn, you have to do this. As much as I railed on Simmons, I would look into Simmons for Kyrie if I were both teams. 800-919-3776. Now, Kyrie, for his part, has told the Nets that if they traded him, he would immediately retire. Okay, that's fine, and he's a different guy, and I respect that he takes stands on things, and I respect everything that he has tried to advocate for mental health and such. No problems there whatsoever. I don't believe for a minute he'll retire. You're walking away from $36 million this year, and if you actually exercised a player option, another $36 million. And if you didn't, you'd be walking away from another max contract somewhere, because somebody would be stupid enough to give it to him. Honestly, the Nets are trying to put this together and have a championship team, and we're not that far out from these extensions having to get done with Durant and with James Harden. So where we are, and with Kyrie for that matter. So where we are at the moment, if ask yourself this question, and I can't stand Ben Simmons, but it's the one place that I would actually send him and the one place that I would actually be fine having him here. If the Nets have Ben Simmons along with Kevin Durant and James Harden, are they winning a championship? Yeah, they are. And nothing is changing there. Same with Kyrie. And it's more, I might even argue it's more likely that they would win a championship with Simmons than Kyrie, based simply on availability and not wondering if he's going to show up or not. Frankly, while Kevin Durant may not want that, he also wants to win a championship right now. And if this is going to be an issue and Kyrie decides, screw it, I'm not playing half the season, well, you are royally screwing over your teammates, and you are absolutely not giving a damn about any of it at that point. Look, personal choice, but the law is the law. And if you want to play NBA basketball for the Brooklyn Nets, this is the law. And it's not even their rule. It's the city's rule. Indoor facility, you have to be vaccinated. That's all there is to it. We can talk all we want about the keeping it private stuff. It is a public health issue. And there's no need to go into all the specifics about why it is and all the science about why getting vaccinated actually does make a huge difference. It's science. Take the time and look it up. But if you're Kyrie and this was the point of coming here was to win a championship and you just don't care about that anymore, just walk away. Just walk away. You don't look like a tough guy by playing half the year. You look like an ass. You look like somebody that doesn't care about anyone else but yourself. And you're not some sort of a martyr here by any stretch. And you're not leading a social movement against vaccination. That's just stupid. It's just dumb. And if you're going to get into all the conspiracy theories that you're reading, understand there's a reason they call them conspiracy theories. The Nets need to win now, and that's what Sean Marks needs to be most concerned about. Now, this may all turn out to be nothing, and he may end up going and getting vaccinated anyway. I read the Rolling Stone article today. It's not great. It's not great, Bob. You may want to read it about the vaccine issue in the NBA this year. And I get that there is a concern among some people about getting it. Totally understand that. But to them, I would say this. And to Kyrie, I would specifically say this. You have a unique opportunity with your platform to make a difference. And if you choose to make a difference by dying on this hill, so to speak, God bless you. That's fine. I just would pick something that is of more social importance than this. You know, you missed time last year and it was it mental health related? Was it because it was your birthday? Was it because you wanted to go and do some stuff in relation to a politician where he turned up on a Zoom fundraiser for a politician while he was away? Whatever it was, they were all very patient with you. At some point, don't you have to respect who you're working for? Don't you have to? Or you just take the money and go and not care? Like, look, there are standing up for real issues here. This is not one of them. This is not an issue for which to stand up with. It is a public health issue. And if you just don't care about anybody else's health than yourself, that's on you. Why can there not be the understanding that if you want to believe something when it comes to vaccination and all that stuff, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you get anything else that you want. It means in circumstances that involve other people, there are consequences for your choices. Just like in life, there are consequences for all of your choices in life. But for Kyrie Irving, there have never been consequences for anything. So when there actually are, that's what's confusing to him. When you are never held responsible for yourself, when somebody actually tells you that you can't do something and they mean it, you don't possibly believe it because it's never been true for you ever. Ever. Like, talk about fighting for the people and all that crap all you want. But this is actually just a case of somebody that's been spoiled rotten throughout his entire professional life because he had a unique ability to play basketball. Pick the issues that you want to support and the ones that'll make a real difference. This is not shut up and dribble. This is either you get the shot or you don't. Do what you would like to do. But if you want to win a championship with your teammates, understand that not playing half the season either means A, the Nets are going to pay you half your money, which I wouldn't do, or B, they're not going to pay you at all. And if you're going to sit out, if you're going to miss the home games, you're going to miss all the games, and I'm not paying you a damn thing. And if you don't want to be traded, well, then you're not going to play. That's it. And look, you're good about walking away from all of it. You've got your $120 million already in the bank, whatever it is. Great. We all go our separate ways. Everybody's happy. But don't expect that you just get to do whatever you want without there being consequences to it, just because there have never been consequences for anything. They just haven't. Who has ever held Kyrie's feet to the fire on a damn thing? They don't, because he's a magician on the basketball court. And that's much more important to the people who are paying him than anything else. But guess what? If what he's saying and what he's now fighting for means that he cannot play in half the games for my team, I'm not going to have him play any of the games for my team. I'm going to trade his ass away. He can go and play in Philadelphia for the Sixers. Maybe he and Embiid can win a championship together. It'll be definitely different than Simmons. And Simmons would come here and absolutely win a title with Harden and with Durant. Because here, Simmons can do whatever the hell he wants. He doesn't have to shoot the basketball once all season long. Not once. Not once. He can focus on making the glorious passes and looking brilliant and being a tremendous defender. All of that's true. It's the only place where he could go and win a championship right now. The only place. And I know what I'm saying when I say that. The only place. So if I were the Nets, all right, let's look at that. That's not the worst idea in the world. At some point, understand that consequences come with action. Jordan's here. Jordan Ronan, ESPN New York, covering the Giants. 800-919-3776. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Chris. How you doing? How about Daniel Jones? I want to talk about something good here, so I might as well get it out of the way, right?
You know, really?
He's looking good.
No? Can we at least agree that our definition of good has changed dramatically? The bar has been lowered considerably. Accurate, inaccurate.
Yeah, it's accurate. But, I mean, look, I've been watching a team for the last 8 years that scores, you know, under 20 points a game in today's NFL. Again, what do you want from me?
I mean, First question, Jordan. Season's over, yes,
you know,
or no?
You know the line? I will say yes. But 0-3, it's just so hard to come back from that. I mean, there's no, like, stats, right? Because it's a 17-game season now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be realistic. Tell me, what would you put the odds of the Giants making the playoffs at? Less than 10%?
Yeah, I'd put it around 5% right now.
Yeah, I would say 8 maybe. That's not good. Who wants to play an 8%, take an 8% chance? I mean, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys look legit this year. So the division's not going to stink like last year to keep them in it. There'll be at least one team that looks like, and it looks like Dallas, that's going to win some games. And, you know, they're going to need to win a lot of games against a really – our guy, Mike Clay at ESPN, recalibrated the schedules based on, like, you know, teams and expectations and results currently. And the Giants have the 32nd ranked schedule right now, meaning the hardest out of any team remaining in the NFL. So you tell me.
That's a real pick me up, isn't it?
You be. Yeah. That's why I started with my guy, Daniel Jones. I'm still on the bus. I got my hat. I'm feeling pretty decent about him. I mean, he's got an offensive line. They might have their fourth left guard in four games this week.
Jordan, I for the life of me just can't figure out how we're here in this scenario again. How do we get here, Jordan? How did we get here?
Well, let's be honest for a second, Chris. They shouldn't be here right now. They shouldn't be 0-3. They should be, 1-2 at the worst, more likely 2-1, but they're not, because they just, for some reason, and I don't like to say it's like, you know, they don't know how to win, because it's not the same group that it was even 2 years ago, and the NFL is such high turnover. I mean, they have a fairly still new coach and coaching staff. So I don't like to relate it, but this team, that does kind of hold true right now. They're doing just enough to lose every game.
Well, and they're making losing plays when it matters the most. Exactly, that's my big problem. Yeah, they're making.
I agree. That's what bothers me the most. And we talked about this last week. That attention to detail of not making the mistakes that lose you games was supposed to be what Joe Judge, you know, was bringing to this team. And it hasn't been the case through the first three games. Now, I still think they'll win some games this year. I don't think they're a horrible, terrible team. That, you know, like we've seen, like the Jets aren't going to have a chance to win many games. Like the Giants are still going to win some games because they're not one of the, you know, the worst teams in the league. But right now you can say they are because they found ways to lose every game that they play. And
yeah, Jordan Ronan with us from ESPN.
If they don't get that fixed, they won't win a game.
Jordan Ronan with us, ESPN New York, covering the Giants. But the problem is, Jordan, I don't see where that win is right now, in at least in the next 4 or 5 weeks. I don't see where it is.
And yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem for sure. Schedule's tough. The schedule is legitimately tough. Carolina, I think they could beat Carolina. I know Carolina's off to a really hot start, but
that's what I looked at as maybe possible. You know, that's definitely what I looked at.
Philadelphia, but that's a while. Philly down the road.
Yeah. I mean,
Chris, when are they going to be favored? Where's there a game that they're favored in this year? Are we talking like maybe not this year? Maybe an Eagles home game?
I don't know. Maybe they'll be favored in Kansas City, Jordan.
Remember? Monday night in Kansas City and a Monday night in Tampa Bay. I mean, like, those are two games that, I mean, I could say this pretty definitively. They have no shot to win those games. Like, literally none. Zero.
I guess I would say zero. The next time they'll be favored might be home against the Eagles. Might be.
What is that, November? Is that November?
That's late. No, that's Thanksgiving weekend, brother. I mean, that's rough. That is rough.
You know,
it's not even a lock. It's line. Maybe.
I used this line today in my podcast, something of the sort. And I said, I know I have a great job, but I feel sorry for myself that I have to watch this kind of football every year. And, you know, like, their struggle to score points is infuriating. That 18.7 points per game this year. It's an improvement from last year, which is in its own right. It makes you want to bang your head against the wall. I mean, there was a year, the 2017, when everyone got injured, they averaged 15 point something points per game. I mean, like, this is the kind of football we have to watch and that Giant fans have had to watch over this 5-year stretch. I mean, they're the worst team in the NFL with the Jets. New York football is what we got. Since the start of 2017.
Wow. Jordan Ronan with us. Jordan, it feels like a teardown to me. It feels like this is a situation that at the end of the year that they really have to look long and hard at the entirety of where we are, because it does look to me like it's a max 3-win team. It is going to be a terrible season. And, like, how do you – I guess I look at where they are and how am I supposed to have a lot of faith that this can get fixed in a relatively short amount of time?
Yeah, I think we're going to feel a little bit better about them as a team as we move along here. Like, Saquon Barkley is going to get healthier. He is getting healthier and better as we move along here. You can kind of see that. You know, it hasn't been a huge – quick jump. I mean, we're going to see Kenny Golladay hasn't played a game at full health either. I mean, he really struggled through that game the other day. There was key spots where he wasn't even on the field. I think that tells you where he is physically. So, I mean, when these guys get healthier, which at some point I'm assuming they will, I guess you never know in the NFL, there's injuries, you know, can get worse and happen. Something else can happen to guys, but I think we're going to see, we won't be as down on this team, I don't think, by like week 10 as we are now. Obviously, they're 0-3 right now. So, they, you know, in the next 7 weeks, go 3-4, which I know you would have a hard time believing right now. But I think they're going to end up winning
some games
that we don't. Yeah, but no, I'm telling you, they're going to win some games that we're not seeing right now. We're so down on them because they've basically blown the last two games, but they put themselves in position to win those two games. They really should have blown Atlanta off the field. They were the better team for most of that game.
But can we sit here and at least acknowledge that? But we've seen this from this team so many, and it's just the team in the uniform. But we've seen it so many times, Jordan. When they didn't punch it in the first half, we knew what was coming. We knew what was coming.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. The more they just kept them hanging around in the game. Just the little mistakes, like we said. They get in the red zone. You know, Grady Jarrett just gets in the backfield without basically getting touched, sacked, and lose yards. You know, penalties, snap off the quarterback's head, you know, hands, head, you know, in the red zone, and you keep them around. And next thing you know, I mean, but still, they had a chance to win. Adoree Jackson had a ball hit his hands, Chris. Hands in the end zone.
Yep.
It was there for them to win. I mean, Logan Ryan had a chance to make a play earlier in the game. It hit his hands.
But this is where is where I really put it on them. Like, I hate the discussion of they should be and they could be. They aren't, because they don't make those plays that make the difference. And that's where the biggest difference is for me right now. And that has me questioning everything that I'm seeing.
You think that if Adoree Jackson has a ball thrown to him in his hands again in the end zone, that he's not going to make that play? I mean, it's a guy who has proven in his
career. I'm sure he will, Jordan, but he didn't the other day. Yeah, I'm sure he will, but he didn't. And this is the point. When you're one of these things happens, they make one play, they win the game. I get that, but they didn't. Those chances were there, and they didn't. So until I actually see them do it, I'm not going to believe that they're going to do it, when they've proved a couple of times now that they just, for whatever reason, whether it's the coaching, however you want to put it, they do not make winning plays.
That's the interesting part. And I think it was Adoree Jackson and Logan Ryan. I asked this question too. Like, when this stuff keeps happening at the end of games and to the defense, I mean, are you guys pressing? Do you sense guys trying too hard to make plays or trying to do too much? Like, what do you put your finger on it? And I think that's the problem, is no one's able to put their finger on it right now. I mean, I'm not sure what the explanation is. You have anything for me?
No, I really don't. I wish I did.
It's just curious, because I mean, you're just like, what? How could this keep happening over and over and over? I mean, they're 0-3 for the third time in 5 years, Chris. I mean, you know how hard it is to pull yourself out of an 0-3 hole in the NFL?
It's absolutely staggering. It's absolutely staggering. Is there anything positive we can talk about? It doesn't have to be about the Giants. Like, what else is going on in your life? How's the TikTok situation working out?
Yeah, you know, we were just discussing some potential dances. My daughter actually wants Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Have any recommendations? You know anything about Snapchat?
I know nothing about Snapchat other than I should not be on it. Because I feel creepy enough being on TikTok, but there are enough adults.
You found your niche, though, by the way. You found your niche. That was a good idea.
Well, it was a good idea. I'm trying to come up with some more, and there are some more. I'm just trying to let me workshop this one for you, okay?
Okay.
Let's run through this. You give me your take on this particular one. It might be just a little bit too much, but you tell me, okay? Here goes.
I don't know if there's a such thing, by the way.
I have this written down. Premise, it's the same old Jets. Is it? Or is it the same old Tony from Freehold? Feels like you called and said the same thing before, because you did last week. Here's an idea. Maybe next time have a point. Or this was the other option. It's the same old Jets, yet you keep coming back and putting yourself through this. Does it say more about you or about them? Maybe you should take this time, volunteer in a nursing home. The results are the same. Somebody dies. maybe a bit harsh. Yeah.
You might have went overboard on the second.
Yeah, exactly.
I do notice, because I live in Freehold. You like to pick on Tony from Freehold.
No, I just realized that's the one that I actually did do recently.
He's a fictional guy.
That's the one that I did do recently. And then the other one was one that I toned that one down a little bit from what happened from the one earlier. from the one of you gotcha. Know, nursing home somebody dies. So
well, here's what I got. Here's what I came up with. You tell me what you think. I have a bit that I'm going to do. I think I'm going to do like dumb question of the day, where I slide dumb questions into press conferences, and then use it as a TikTok element.
I don't hate
Can't overdo it, but yeah.
No, I don't hate it. Yeah. You got to get everybody in the right frame of mind. You know how that is.
I mean, I did something the other day. I asked Saquon about his beer pong shooting.
So I did see
really
that.
Really a dumb question.
I did see that.
So that was like a test run kind of deal.
I once asked, ruin the
flow of a press conference and have everybody hate me. You know?
I once asked Tom Brady at a Super Bowl week press conference, what he was going to do if this football thing didn't work out, or when he realized it wasn't working out. And he said, well, I think it's working out pretty well. And I said, I guess that's your opinion. So.
Is there a video of this?
There is video of this somewhere. I think I can send it to you.
I think you should have that on like your reel.
That's a fair point.
Good stuff right there.
That's a fair point. It's repackaging. It's it's repurposing material used before. Jordan, good
you
point.
Maybe you can go to the Giants. Tell them your personnel evaluations are right on par at this point.
All right, good talk. We'll see you out there.
We're at the point where we're talking about TikTok and other stuff. It's week three, Chris. It is week three. That's where we're at.
Here's my goal for next week, Jordan. That we actually talk more about TikTok and other things than the Giants in our next chat.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Definitely.
What
the trip is going to be like to New Orleans. I'll give you the details.
If there was ever real material to work with in New Orleans, you'll have it.
Definitely.
All right, bud. Thanks.
All right, anytime, Chris. Speak soon.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.